Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It's Thursday, July 9th, 2015, and I'm here on a beautiful sunny day in Clearwater, Florida. And today we're going to talk about our rights. And this is something I've been wanting to talk about for a long time, actually, because we do have basic human rights, and I think that one of them is the right to be healthy and happy and not have our health harmed by things. I think one of our basic, health, happiness, and the opening of one of our famous American documents, the right to, I'll think of it, I'll look it up during a break. Anyway, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's it. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And life, to be alive and to not be sick and to be able to function in life and pursue what you want to do and not be harmed by things around you is one of our basic human rights. And today we're going to talk about that in the realm of mental health, because I'm going to let my guest explain this, but just to be brief about it, many people in the world today are being given mental health. I don't even want to say mental health. Because that doesn't seem right to have a drug. But anyway, I think you get what I'm saying. Anyway, many people are being given drugs to control their mental state, not understanding what these drugs can do, and that we have rights, we do have rights to not be given those drugs. And we're going to talk more about that. But for me, I consider mental health drugs to be toxic chemicals. So it's just like taking, you know, being exposed to any other toxic thing that would affect your mental state, and many toxic chemicals do. So we're just going to talk about these drugs. We're going to talk about our rights to not take them. We're going to talk about what's going on in the world about people being forced to take them. And for me, that's much in the same way that we're being forced to take toxic products. We're being forced to use toxic products because we don't have alternatives, although there are many alternatives. But they're on the market. They're polluting the environment. They're polluting public places. We have rights, and that's what we're going to talk about today. My guest is Lori Anspach. She's the director of, my computer just went down, Mental Health Rights. And she spent 20 years as a mental health advocate in Florida, working side by side with legal and medical professionals to assist individuals in protecting their mental health rights. Her website is mentalhealthrights.org. And hi, Lori. Hello, are you there? Hello, Lori? Ah, well, I'm not hearing Lori. Let's see. I just have to talk to the station for a second. Ah, I'm getting a message from the station. Okay. She's being called back, and we'll have her just in a second. So, anyway, what can I say until she gets back? Mental health rights. So some more things about Lori. We'll be talking about how individuals, particularly children and elderly, are often given toxic drugs for mental health conditions that can be handled without them, and the rights we have to refuse such drugs. Lori says, having helped people over such a long span of time, it is clear that when individuals get full information of the facts, and specifically in regards to their situation, they are able to assert their rights, and that's what she does. So do we have Lori on the line?
Hi, Deborah. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Great. Thank you for having me on your show. I'm really honored.
Thank you. Okay, so Lori, I gave a little introduction. I'm not sure if you heard it because we were disconnected there. But why don't you just go ahead and explain what's going on in the world today with regards to mental health that requires you to be an advocate?
Oh, absolutely. I'd love to. There are different categories of people out in the world, and there are those that run into problems with the mental health, behavioral health, learning, educational learning problems area. And then there are those that don't run into it. And I can tell you, Deborah, in 20 years, it's rare that I run into an individual who hasn't had some sort of difficulty in asserting their rights or their position or their decisions in regards to their own mental health, their child's behavioral health, in regards to a learning difficulty in the school arena. And I can give examples of that, but just to let you know how rare it is that I run into people that aren't familiar with this to some degree. You know, over the years, myself and many volunteers in the nonprofits I've been involved in, we've been out in community events making known our nonprofit and our advocacy services. And I can tell you one for one, it's typically 99% of the people that we would meet in, say, a five-hour period, which is anywhere from 500 to 1,000 people. 99% of those people have a story to tell. And essentially all we do as advocates is provide the information that's accessible to anyone but rarely given by the mental health or the medical community. And that relates back to informed consent, having full information. And it's very much aligned with what you do as an advocate for toxic-free life.
Well, give us some examples for people who haven't had an experience with this, or people who have, and just to give us some ideas of a couple of examples of this, where people are running into a problem and they need your help.
For sure. The way that I got involved, actually, was I was running an art school here in Florida, and I met many parents who would bring their children into my school, and they would apologize ahead of time for their child and let me know that the child was diagnosed with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder and or some other disorder, and that they may not be able to learn in a class environment. I was had just moved here from New York, and I was unfamiliar with these types of labels, and I started to do some research at the library. This was long before the internet, and found that there were different diagnoses that were being handed out for children in the school environment. So one thing led to another, and I ended up becoming an advocate because what I found was, for example, most parents do not know that they have the right to decline the mental health medications. They don't know that they have the right to report a school teacher, a school principal, or any school personnel for pushing them to put their kid on ADHD medication.
Okay, so just I just need you to back up a minute, because I don't have children, and I've heard peripherally about these kinds of things, but would you just give us more details about what is going on in the schools? How are these children being forced to be taking these drugs?
Well, there's many factors, and anyone that follows the educational arena in terms of how the schools are rating, the pressure to get the kids through the test and to have the school rate well in terms of how the kids are coming out in terms of their grade point average, their grades, their testing scores. The teachers have, say, we'll put an average of 25 to 30 students in a class. If a number of those students fail these tests or are not doing well, it reflects poorly on the teacher, and their job is at risk. So over the decades, this started to occur in the late 60s, early 70s, but it has now escalated to a point where a child, you know, if they're not keeping up, quote-unquote, keeping up with the rest of the class, they will be, again, quote-unquote, offered special education services. Now, with that recommendation or that offer comes testing. And that testing is supposed to focus on the child's learning ability.
Lori, I need you to just interrupt you for a minute, because we need to go to break. And when we come back, we'll hear more about this. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Lori Anspach. She's the Director of Mental Health Rights at mentalhealthrights.org. And we're talking about our rights to not be exposed to toxic things today. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Lori Anspach. She's the Director of Mental Health Rights. The website is mentalhealthrights.org, and we're talking about our mental health rights to not be given drugs against our will, I guess is a way to say it. So, Lori, you were telling us about what happens in schools, so would you continue with that?
Absolutely. So if a child is placed in special education, or even if they're not offered and placed in special education, if the teacher suggests to the parent, well, your child has ADHD, you need to take him to the doctor, the parent is not obligated to do so. But unfortunately, Deborah, most parents don't know that. And they do take the suggestion, take their child to the doctor. The doctor then diagnoses them with ADHD and prescribes the ADHD meds, which carry very severe FDA warnings of heart risk, suicidal ideation, sudden death, cardiac arrest, just to name a few. I've dealt with a lot of parents that didn't know that there was a federal law and a Florida law that prohibits school personnel from forcing them or coercing them to medicate their child as a requisite to going to school. But what we have is we have parents that most often both the mother and the father work, and they need to keep their jobs, and the kids need to go to school. So if the parent thinks that that ability to go to school is being threatened, they will automatically comply and go to the doctor. And unfortunately, again, they're not given full information about the risks of the mental health drugs, nor are they given information about the alternatives. But most importantly, and the crux of the issue or the problem is, there are no medical tests to evidence a mental health diagnosis, a learning disorder. They don't use brain scans or chemical imbalance tests, blood tests, to evidence what they then use as a diagnosis to prescribe the meds.
So basically, it sounds like you're saying that a teacher or some official at the school can decide, based on their observation, I guess, that a child has this condition, and then the teacher can tell the parent to go to the doctor and get these drugs, and that the doctor just listens to the teacher? Because a parent comes in and says, my child's teacher said I need to come to the doctor and that this child needs this drug, then the doctor just says, oh, okay, I'm going to give it to them. The doctor doesn't give any medical tests? The doctor has no diagnosis?
The doctor does no medical test, Deborah, because there are none that exist. Even the mental health community admits there is no medical test to evidence that the diagnoses are based upon list of symptoms. So if the teacher shares her observations that the child's not sitting still, he doesn't focus, he's moving around, he's fidgeting, and that teacher-based observation goes to the pediatrician, the therapist, then it becomes a strong recommendation to the pediatrician or the psychiatrist to then prescribe the meds. The physicians themselves are adhering to this mainstream thought process of, prescribe the meds. It's a rare moment, and I know this firsthand because I do cold calling out to physicians across the state and sometimes out of the state. It's a rare moment that I actually speak with a physician who will not quickly and immediately and firstly opt for the mental health med.
Yeah, well, that's what doctors do. That's what they're trained to do.
That's what they're trained to do. And we are fortunate in that there are medical professionals, and there have been since the 1960s, medical professionals who are experts in the area of learning disorders, mental health symptoms, behavioral health symptoms, and they can and will perform medical tests to evidence what potential underlying physical situation may be existing that would cause the child to not sit still, not be able to focus, to fidget. These same medical tests can be performed to help anyone who's experiencing life stresses, or as you cover in all your very good works, the stresses of toxic foods, toxic environment, nutritional deficiencies, food allergies, hormone problems, thyroid problems. All these things can be tested for, no matter whether the individual is a child or an adult or a senior citizen. And then when the physical situation is evident, they can use traditional medicine to help the person heal their body, as opposed to putting toxic mental health drugs that carry severe warnings on them. You know, so it's a vested interest when you look at the fact that, again, these are voted into existence by physicians, psychiatrists, who, per a University of Massachusetts study, showed that the majority of those physicians have financial ties to pharmaceutical companies. It's a simple formula of follow the money.
Yeah, but as I said before, this is what doctors are trained to do, is that they're trained to look at the patient and see what drug they should prescribe. That's why you go to the doctors, to get drugs.
Exactly. It's a pharma world.
Yeah.
So what we try to do as advocates is fill in the missing pieces. For example, back to the child in the school, when a parent is made aware, either beforehand, during this type of situation, or even afterwards, that there is a Florida and federal statute that prohibits the school personnel from coercing to medicate their child, they can then make the decision not to medicate their child.
Right.
They have the right. That's a parental right. Unfortunately, you know, many of the hotline calls that I've taken over the years are from parents who did not know that there were those statutes in existence, did not know the FDA warnings on the meds, and they call after the fact when the adverse effects are taking place and their child is not doing well and or has passed away. And it's nothing more tragic than speaking to a parent whose child has passed away because of the FDA adverse effects of these drugs. So it's a driving force for myself and advocates like myself to really get out to as many parents, as many individuals, because I can give you examples of adults, but also senior citizens and the situations that they get involved in.
Well, we need to go to break now, but when we come back, I'd like to for us to talk about senior citizens, because I know that there's a lot of elderly people who are in rest homes or even at home who are being given piles of drugs by their doctors or their families. We'll talk about this when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. We'll be right back. You're listening to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com. Oops, Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Lori Onspot. She's Director of Mental Health Rights, and that's at mentalhealthrights.org. And you can also go to ToxicFreeTalkRadio.com and learn all about the guests, the past guests. You can listen to all the shows. We have more than 200 shows in the archives, and all about things having to do with living in a less toxic way or being more aware of toxic issues. So, Lori, we talked before about children in schools, but tell us about a typical situation with a senior citizen where this might come up.
Oh, most definitely. And as you mentioned, they're in Florida. We have a large majority of senior citizens here. It's a great place to retire. And unfortunately, it's also sort of a great place to scoop up the elderly and put them into the mental health arena. It's a terrible way to say it, but I've taken many, many, many calls from adult children, but also the elders themselves. And what typically happens, Deborah, is that if an elder is living on their own, or perhaps their spouse just passed and they were married forever, more than 50 years, and they're sad, like real life grief from a real life stress, you know, and they are visiting their physicians for whatever physical ailment they might have, and they express the fact that they're sad, or they might as well not continue with life, or whatever expression that used to be used before what's going on now in terms of mental health, that will get interpreted that the elder person is unable to care for themselves, is potentially a risk to themselves, and many a times the elder will be involuntarily committed. And in the state of Florida, that is called the Baker Act. Now, because there aren't typically family members close by, this all happens without the family knowing. The elder gets placed into the mental health facility, gets placed on the mental health drugs. Typically, for senior citizens, what is used is a class of drugs called antipsychotics. The FDA places special warnings on the antipsychotics for the elderly of increased mortality. And in addition to that, there's a black box warning of suicidal thoughts and behaviors. So once something like this ball or this motion starts to happen, the elder is then reviewed for her or his ability to function in life, and often is deemed incapacitated, unable to either take care of their own affairs or a segment of their affairs, whether that be their financial, their property, their health. It's an open door for the elder to start losing control over their life and what's going on. So it's unfortunate, but it's beneficial if elders and adult children get this information ahead of time that we're talking about. No medical test to the mental health diagnoses. Life does have its stresses. There are medical professionals that can test for underlying physical causes. Seniors often do have medical problems to start with, but the same traditional medical professionals can work with them to help them get through the stressful time, such as the loss of a loved one, without having to go into the mental health arena, especially if that entails an involuntary commitment and or the mental health meds. So it has been most common when I review medical records from senior citizens to find them on multiple mental health meds, and up to as many as 15 of them.
Wow.
And this has to do with no oversight and, again, lack of informed consent. I always encourage families to stay connected to their elder and to really think about what they want to do in terms of power of attorney. Should something happen, should the elder start to experience some signs of dementia or a physical disability that makes it harder for them to get around, there are different things that they can consider doing that will help protect their elder family member. And there are a few fantastic attorneys in the state of Florida that will help to put in place the legal paperwork to make sure that that is never challenged.
I'm just kind of stunned. Stunned maybe isn't the right word, but it's just, you don't think that these things happen. You know, you just go along in your normal life, and you don't know that these kinds of things are going on in the world. But one thing that I wanted to mention listening to all this, and I've talked about this on the show before, but I think it bears repeating here, is that I had a situation in my life where early in my life, I took a thyroid medication called Synthroid, which is a thyroid hormone, but it's synthetic and it's a prescription. And my brother was also given that. And I decided that I was going to get off of it and not take it because it gave me side effects. And I started taking Armour Thyroid instead, which is a natural product. My brother stayed on it and ended up in the mental ward of a hospital because what happens is that Synthroid can give you psychiatric symptoms, and the antidote for them is to just give you psychiatric drugs. And that started him on being addicted to mental health drugs for the rest of his life until he died at age 58, which is very young, I consider. But he was just addicted to those drugs, and nobody ever got him off of them.
I'm so sorry to hear that, Deborah, and it's most relevant to what we're talking about, because that's exactly the path that many an individual goes on, because many of these mental health drugs are highly addictive, and the FDA warns of that. And again, the individual is never given that full information.
But it's standard practice. The thing that just appalls me about this is it's standard practice to give people Synthroid. And it's like, oh, you need some help with
exactly.
your thyroid. Here's the Synthroid pill, and here's your mental health drugs.
It deserves a closer inspection from where I sit, because I've looked at many, many, many package inserts. I know exactly what you're talking about. If you look at the package inserts, or speak to an MD even, and ask questions about a class of antibiotics called fluoroquinolone, you'll see that psychiatric side effects are actually listed on those antibiotics package inserts.
They don't read them, and the doctor doesn't make sure that they're aware of it. Anyway, we need to go to break, but we'll talk about this more when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Lori Anspach. She's the director of Mental Health Rights, and her website is mentalhealthrights.org, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Lori Anspach. She's the director of Mental Health Rights at mentalhealthrights.org. Lori, you know, I'd like to bring this home, so to speak, because we've talked about different groups of people, children and elders, but I think that what I'm getting is that even if you don't have somebody who's insisting or coercing or whatever to have you take mental health drugs, that as we were talking in the last segment, I started thinking about how frequent it is that people listen to their doctors. And I'm not saying that people shouldn't listen to their doctors and that they shouldn't comply. I'm laughing because I was interviewing doctors I was looking for. An MD, just because I think I should have an MD. And so I was interviewing doctors, and I went to one doctor, and we talked 5 minutes, and he started yelling at me for not being a compliant patient. And,
wow.
And I just got up and I said, thank you very much. I don't think you're the right doctor for me. And I walked out, and he very much had this attitude that I was supposed to do everything that he told me without question. I have this idea that probably more doctors are like that than not. And so I think that the general attitude is, if my doctor tells me, you know, and I'll just tell you, my father some years ago was lying in a hospital bed dying. And I offered to bring him some fresh juice. And he didn't want it. He said, I'm just going to do what my doctor tells me. And he did what his doctor told him until he died. And he mm-hmm. wouldn't do any life-affirming thing like drink fresh juice.
Isn't that amazing and shocking and appalling?
Yes. I was amazed and shocking and shocked and appalled. And, you know, there's so many things that I know. I mean, the kind of healthcare that I get for myself personally is not about treating illness with a drug. It's about doing things that create life in your body, that create health. And there's all kinds of things that you can do on the positive side, from taking supplements to eating organic food to drinking enough water to, you know, there's just all these things that we can do, getting enough sleep, exercise, all these things. And people don't do those things. And then they go to a doctor and they want to get a pill. And so then the doctor says, okay, I'm going to give you this pill, and you don't get the warnings of what those can do for you, to you.
And, that's exactly right.
And I understand this because I came from a family that did that. That was given to me as a child. I mean, I spent 20 years going to a doctor and taking prescriptions until I decided that prescriptions don't create health, that they may alleviate symptoms, but they don't create health. And we have so many things available to us that we could be doing that are life-affirming, that restore our bodies, that give us what our bodies need in order to be healthy. And we're not doing them.
That's exactly right. And so if we do sort of come full circle to what can people do, you know, first, yeah, pay attention to your newsletter, your radio show. Deborah, you do such a fabulous job. The amount of health that can be derived from all the things that you're talking about is incredible. But also individuals who may have nutritional problems, any kind of physical problems, are going to only benefit from more healthy lifestyles and nutrition. And then also get the information, what is happening in the mental health community, what is happening in the medical community, because they've morphed. Substance abuse is now really mental, under the umbrella of mental health, right? Medical is really under and in conjunction with that same umbrella of mental health. Mental health insinuates in absolutely every profession, all the way to veterinarians. They are prescribing mental health drugs for animals, for illnesses, as opposed to really treating the illness. And so if individuals just took a little bit of time, maybe, you know, a couple of times on the internet, or just a conversation with an advocate, to just get some basic ABCs of, you know, what are your rights, what is the information, what are some of the resources online where I could look up what my doctor's saying or suggesting. Because, for example, there were a lot of people who don't eat well or don't exercise or are not taking care of themselves or have too much stress in their life. They don't sleep well. It's a big problem.
Right.
And so they go to the doctor, and the next thing you know, they're on a benzodiazepine. And benzodiazepines are extremely dangerous.
Yes.
And highly addictive. And yet they may not think twice about it because, like you're saying,
it's because people trust their doctors. And I'm not saying that doctors are not trustworthy, but we grew up, I mean, actually not everybody in the world grew up this way, but I mean, there's a lot of people alive who grew up that the doctor is the one that you go to. The doctor, you can trust your doctor, and the doctor will give you something that will make you better. But the whole idea of the modern medical paradigm is to go to the doctor and get a drug, but drugs do not make your body healthy. Drugs can alleviate symptoms, but they can't make your body healthy. And if you're not doing the health-building things, you're not going to be healthy. That's just the way it is. It's just, you know, 2 + 2 = 4. So I think what I would want to say to my listeners after listening to everything that you've said is, number one, you have the right to make your own decisions, and that you don't have to do something just because a doctor or a teacher or anybody else tells you that you have to do it, that you have your own freedom of choice to decide for yourself if this is right for you. That would be number one. And number two is that if somebody that you go to for advice on your body or your mental state gives you something that you should be the treatment, that you should do your own research and find out if that's the thing that you want to take. And like, I take a lot of supplements, and I just started taking a new herbal product and stuff. And, you know, these are all natural and healthy and things, but I don't put them in my body until I check them out myself. And I go to professionals because I trust them to have more experience and knowledge than I do in this field, and that they can assess my body and figure out the right thing to give me. But I still, you know, I look on those labels. When somebody puts a supplement in my hand, I look and I see if it has any extraneous ingredients in it that I don't want to take. And we all have the right to do this. And that if more people would do this, if they would do it in their own lives, if they would do it with their children, if they would do it with their elders, we'd have a lot less problem with drugs.
100%. It empowers the individual to really take control over their own health and their well-being and their loved ones' well-being.
Yes, yes.
And their friends and their neighbors. And just as an experiment, each of your listeners can just ask one person that they know, have you ever had a problem with this? Have you ever been prescribed a med? Did you ever have an adverse effect? I'd be very surprised if not every single one of us knows at least one person who's run into trouble with it.
I'm sure, because drugs have many adverse effects. I've had adverse effects with drugs, which is one of the reasons why I don't take them anymore. And I've seen people, like I already explained about my brother, I mean, just getting addicted to these things. And you know, he shouldn't have died at age 58. You know, he just shouldn't have. Anyway, we're almost at the end of the show, and this has been so interesting. This has been so interesting and so, I think, really needed, because drugs are toxic substances. We shouldn't be putting them in our bodies unless we really know what... It's just, you know, it's just a matter of not having the information. And it's so easy to get it. If somebody gives you a drug, you can just go online and type in the name of the drug, and you will get pages and pages of information about what the health effects are. You can go to a site like WebMD. They tell you all the side effects and everything. You can look. All the information is there. It's just each one of us making the decision to exercise our right of choice and find out about it, and then say no if that's not. If a doctor gives you a drug and you go online and you see all these health effects, you can then go back to your doctor and say, excuse me, but I'd like to have some other treatment. There must be another way to handle this and put this toxic stuff in my body. And when I decided that many, many years ago, I started looking for other kinds of treatments, and I found them. And it's made all the difference. So I'm glad you're doing what you're doing.
Yeah, and I'm so happy you're out there doing what you're doing, Deborah, and I applaud you and commend you highly. And you're absolutely right. I'm so sorry for your brother, because he should not have had to pass away so young, and it could have been prevented. And the drugs are highly addictive, and they have severe FDA warnings, and thyroid trouble in itself, you know, and the medications given, again, just at, you know. It, like you were saying, go on the internet, and what I do is just put the name of the drug and then put FDA package insert, because if you read it right from the insert, there's no interpretation. I do that for every single drug, you know, because then you know what the risks are, what the alleged benefits are. And just as an added note, we're in a country where there's direct-to-consumer advertising on pharmaceuticals.
I need to just interrupt you, because the music's going to come on in just a few seconds. Okay. And I want to say thank you. And Lori's website is mentalhealthrights.org. You're listening to Toxic Detox Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. Be well.